On the record. On News Talk.
With Pinergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
It is all wall-to-wall Donald Trump. The front page of the Irish Mail on Sunday. Next 48 hours crucial. This is according to the White House last night. And the front page of the Sunday Times says that Trump is gambling on some radical new drugs to beat the virus. Let's talk about the situation in Washington. We're joined on the line by Anthony Zurcher, who is the BBC's North America correspondent. Good morning to you, Anthony, and thank you for getting up so early for us. I do appreciate it. There was a lot of confusion yesterday regarding the timeline for Donald Trump. His doctor appeared to suggest that he was now 72 hours into his diagnosis. That wasn't the case. Has that been cleared up since, or have we got to the bottom of some of the anomalies in the White House story?
Well, it's been cleared up in as much as the White House has sent out a press release shortly after the doctor said that 72-hour line, saying, no, he really meant 3 days, because 72 hours would put his diagnosis at Wednesday, which was well before Donald Trump tweeted out that late night, early Friday morning tweet about having COVID. It would have put it before he went to Minnesota for a campaign rally. It would have put it before he went to New Jersey for a fundraiser. Obviously, that would have been a very concerning timeline, because then Trump would have been in the public without revealing that he had been diagnosed with COVID. So the press release said, no, the timeline was as we had seen it, that he was diagnosed late Thursday night, that he tweeted out at 1 a.m. Friday morning, and then began taking drugs for treatment on Friday morning. So whether you believe that the White House's line was the original line and the doctor misspoke, or that it was some sort of confusion or some sort of cover-up, I guess that depends on your perspective of this administration.
Are we any clearer to understanding what was behind then the fact that that doctor gave that press conference yesterday afternoon, appeared to give a fairly upbeat and glowing assessment of the president's prognosis, only then for an off-the-record source, which most people understand to be the chief of staff, because he was filmed on camera asking reporters if he could go off the record, then saying that in fact things were much more grave and that the next couple of days would be crucial?
That was the remarkable thing, and it still really hasn't been cleared up that on one hand you heard from the doctors painting this rosy picture, and then you heard from Mark Meadows saying that the president's vitals over the last 24 hours were very concerning, quote, and the next 48 hours will be critical in terms of his care. There have been media reports since then that Donald Trump actually had a very high fever on Friday, that he was having difficulty breathing, that he had to be on oxygen at the White House for a while. And that was why the decision was made to transport him on Friday evening to Walter Reed Medical Center. There is a challenge for this administration to present the best picture they can for the president, but also be truthful, because if they start having people questioning the line coming out on the president's health, that could undermine the American public's faith in this administration, and also undermine the faith of the world, adversaries and allies, about what exactly is happening here in the United States.
Still a very confusing picture, certainly, and nothing is getting any clearer. Obviously, in the wake of the president's positive test, there have been more and more people in his circle getting tested and more names testing positive. Many of them were at the Rose Garden event last weekend, where the president unveiled Amy Coney Barrett as his nominee for the Supreme Court. What more do we know about that and the role that it might have played in being a super spreader event?
It definitely is concerning, because if you see pictures, there were 100 people there, many of them not wearing masks, many of them milling around and hugging and talking to each other. There were senators there who have since tested positive. Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee of Utah, Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina, even the president of Notre Dame University in Indiana, John Jenkins, he tested positive. So I don't know if the White House is conducting extensive contact tracing or not to figure out who was exposed, but certainly journalists and the American public are looking at these pictures and thinking that had to have been as some sort of a way that this virus had spread, because so many people there had tested positive. The other thing I think a lot of people are looking at was, you know, Donald Trump went to a debate, a presidential debate with Joe Biden on Tuesday. On Monday, he was having debate preparation sessions, and Stepien, the campaign manager for the Trump campaign, Chris Christie, former New Jersey governor, Hope Hicks, who was one the advisor who originally tested positive on Thursday, they all were in that room with Donald Trump. So most of the people in there consulting with him ended up testing positive.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people wondering now if more and more senators come down positive, can the hearings for Amy Coney Barrett still go ahead? Because obviously you can't have the vote if there are some people who are incapacitated. Talk to me briefly, Anthony, about what this means for the race, because for Joe Biden, I guess this presents something of a real unprecedented challenge. He has to try and figure out, does he go hammer and tongs to try and fill the void? Does he try to scale back events as a kind of a gentlemanly conduct because his opponent is being laid lower? Or what do you think it means for the race going forward?
It is a challenge. Joe Biden has to strike the right tone here. And he has been trying to, I think, set an example for the party by taking the high road, saying this shouldn't be a partisan moment. It should be an American moment, saying God protect the first family. But he will not necessarily, the Democrats around him may not necessarily follow that and may start questioning the president's decision and saying this is an example of him not taking this virus seriously enough. The Biden campaign has taken down negative ads or is in the process of doing that. So I think they definitely see this as a moment to step back. But for the Trump campaign, obviously, we only have 30 days until the presidential election. He is off the campaign trail, and this is focusing attention on coronavirus. The spotlight is on it directly, and polls suggest that the president doesn't have a lot of approval from the public on his handling of the coronavirus even before this. So anything that puts the attention on the virus at this point probably is not good for Donald Trump's political prospects.
With all of that in mind then, Anthony, in a word, do we expect Donald Trump to stay and observe the rest of his 14 days at whatever point he might test negative?
I would think you would have to.
Okay, well, we'll have to see whether he does. I think he's a man who constantly confounds expectations. Anthony, thank you for speaking to us this morning. That's Anthony Zurcher, who is a BBC North America correspondent who's been following a fairly dramatic couple of days in the White House and beyond.